Enter into his rest. That is the title of today's sermon. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1-3. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1-3. I have a spare Bible here if you need one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1-3. Yes, I would like someone to read for me. Someone who has not read today. A volunteer who has not read today. Anybody who has not read today who would like to read. Yes, I can have you and I can have an adult. So let's have a child first. Genesis 2, 1-3. And then an adult should get ready. One child, one adult. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1-3. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1-3. Yes, let's have a child and then an adult. Go on.
So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation.
Amen. Okay, an adult, Genesis 2, 1-3. Any adult wants to read it? Yes, Genesis 2, 1-3. It's very interactive. Every fourth Sunday, it's a joint service. I make it very interactive. You're going to teach, you're going to learn. Yes?
So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation.
Amen. So the question is this. Are you ready for the first questions? There will be 10 questions or so. Why did God rest on the seventh day? Why did God rest on the seventh day? No, actually, before that question, let me ask a question. Why do people rest? There's no price to this one. Why do people rest? Sorry? Because what?
Because they're tired.
Yes. Is there any other reason why people rest? People, not God, no. People.
Because they finish what they have to do.
Yes. Why do people rest?
To clear their mind.
To clear their mind, yes. I like that. Any other reason why people like to rest? Or why do people rest? Is there any other reason? Yeah. To regain their energy. Okay, let's leave it there. So why did God rest? I'll start from the youngest. Why did God rest on the seventh day? Yes, so yeah, Ryan is the youngest. Go for it. The oldest, yeah. Listen.
Because he had completed all he had made.
Because he had completed or finished all his works. I don't need to go for that. That's the right answer. Put your hands together for Ryan. A pound to Ryan. Let me just quickly explain that. God did not rest on the seventh day because he was tired. Amen? It wasn't because God was what? Tired. It was because God was finished. Amen? In fact, there's a deeper reason. Let me break it down. Same reason. I just want to break it down. God resting on the seventh day was about completion, not tiredness. God finished his works. It's not just that he finished. He saw that they were good. There was nothing to improve. Amen? When God rested on the seventh day, it was because he had finished and everything was good. There was nothing to improve. If there was something to improve, he wouldn't be finished. Hello? It wasn't just about the fact that he created heavens and earth. He saw that it was good. There was nothing to improve on. It was finished. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why God rested. And another reason why God rested, that not only did he see it was good, God had released the blessing. When God created the trees, he blessed them to produce seed that would create new trees. When God created man, Adam and Eve, he blessed them to be fruitful and to multiply. I want to tell you something today. I hope you know that when a new child is born, it's not God creating that child. It's him, but it's not him. Because in Adam, was all the children that will ever be in the seed. You see, in one seed is all the trees that will ever be. Amen? The reproducing power, God put it there in the beginning. And that's where he rested. So every new child being born today is coming from the seed. Hallelujah. The seed has life in itself. And God put it there. And no scientist has ever created one seed. They can hybrid, they can cross, but they cannot create. With all the technology in the world, scientists cannot create what? A seed from nothing. The seed has life in itself. Amen? And so God saw that everything was good. God already put the power for everything to continue to replenish itself. Yeah? God blessed it. So the work was what? Finished. And that's why he what? Rested. Do you see that? The reason why God rested is because the work was complete and finished. Hallelujah. I'm building up a story. You will see where I'm going to. So, if you ask me, say, why did God rest? In fact, basically, after the sixth day, you know what I imagine God saying to himself? It is finished. Do you remember that statement? It is finished. Do you remember when it was said again? Huh? Just keep thinking. We're going there. In the beginning, God said, it is finished. And he rested. But something happened later. And then Jesus had to come and say what? On the cross. It is what? He's repeating Genesis. They are connected. I'll show you that. If I you throw that again, I'll give it to somebody waiting to collect it. Okay, second question. Are you still with me? Which day? So God rested on the seventh day, and that's called the Sabbath. Sabbath just means seventh day. Sabbath is an Hebrew word that means the seventh day. Now my question is this. Which day is the seventh day? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, if you receive a prize, you have to skip the next question. Yes, youngest now. Wait, just wait. I have to go from the youngest. Okay, but were you taught? Did your mommy tell you anything? Yes or no? Well, actually, I have to believe you said no, so that's no. Which day is the seventh day? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, there you go. Hold it. Okay, no, actually. Say?
Sunday,
okay. Which day? Who disagrees? Which day is the seventh day?
Saturday.
Anybody disagree? Which day is the seventh day?
Saturday,
okay. One more. Which day is the seventh day?
Monday.
Monday, okay. Fine. Let's stop there. All right. Both answers are correct, but one is more correct than the other. Okay? So, of course, when I'm asking you the seventh day, I'm asking from the Christian point of view or from the Bible point of view. I'm not asking from, you know, any other point of view. Now, in the Western calendar, you know, the first day of the week may be reckoned as Monday. But in the Hebrew calendar, in the Bible calendar, in the Christian calendar, the first day of the week is Sunday. We can prove it to you. Which day did Jesus rise from the dead? Sunday or Monday? And if you're not sure, you say, I'm not sure. For a bonus prize, which day did Jesus rise from the dead? Elvie, for 50p?
Sunday.
Anybody disagree? Which day did Jesus rise from the dead?
It's Easter Monday.
No. Jesus rose from the dead. Open your Bible to John chapter 20. John 20. Open your Bible to John. John chapter 20. Go on then. John 20. John chapter 20, please. Open your Bible to John chapter 20. You are learning something. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we are going to read verse 1 and 2. John 21 and 2. John 21 and 2. Who is going to read?
Me.
It's not yet there. If you are there. Yeah. John 21 and 2. Sean. We need to separate you.
John 21.
John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2.
Okay. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance.
Okay, so Jesus rose on Sunday. But give me another version, King James or New King James? Because I already told us it's Sunday. But what does New King James or New King James say?
Amplified.
Oh, what?
Unamplified.
Yeah, continue. Yeah, read.
So, now on the first day of
on
the week.
On the first day. On what?
Of the week.
On the first day of the week. And you can see another version telling you that it's Sunday morning. So, in the Bible calendar, Sunday is the first day of what?
Of the week.
So, that means that which day is the Sabbath? Which day is the seventh day of the week according to the Bible calendar? Which day?
Saturday.
Thank you. So, who said Sunday now? 50 people, not square. No, for first day of the week. And yes, who else told me? Who said Saturday was this seventh day? Two of you, so 50p each. Yeah, what are you? What? Why are you saying? Why are you complaining? You want more than 50p? Because you had the same answer. When you have the same answer, it's a tie. I will now tell you some things about the seventh day. Okay. And the first day. Okay? Are you ready for this? Let's go for it. Let me explain this. So, now listen. Now, God rested on the seventh day. Which day was Adam and Eve created? Which day? Which day? You're not sure. I've talked to you last time. I did it last week. Which day? Check your Bible, Genesis. Which day was mankind created? Yeah, but you should actually know it. Which day? What did God create last? So which day was Adam and Eve created? Bonus prize?
The sixth day.
You should know that. Amen? God created everything. Then he created man. And then he created woman. And then he blessed them. And the work was finished. Okay, so Sean got the prize. It was an easy question. Sean? Yeah, okay, I have it. Thank you. Starunga has really helped me today. Thank you very much. Everyone, put your hands together for Starunga. She's very helpful. Okay. What I want to show you was this. The seventh day, which was the day God rested, was also the first full day of mankind on the earth. Think about it. God created mankind and put him into rest. The very first day that Adam was spending on the earth was not a day of hard labor. It was a day of rest. Amen? He was made and put into the garden. And the first full day he lived, it was a day of God's rest in paradise. Now that gives you an idea of the perfect will of God for your life. Amen? The perfect will of God for your life is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17 said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? Righteousness. And what? And peace. And what? Joy. That's God's will. And ever since man sinned, man has been chasing paradise. It's not true. Is that not what we are chasing? Hello, Mr. Cody, are you still here? Ever since man has been chasing paradise. That's what you are all chasing. Or we are all chasing. You want a place of peace and joy. Anybody hates peace and joy here? You hate peace and joy. You like war and violence and turmoil and worry and fear. Anybody? Are you lazy up here? Amen. But Adam did not have to fight or struggle for peace. God created him into rest. The seventh day was the first day of Adam and Eve. Don't forget that. It shows you the mind of God for you. Let me say a bit more about that before I go to the next question. So, actually, it was not only the seventh day. Adam was created into rest. And he continued to enjoy God's rest. Because the works were finished. He was just enjoying God. Until he sinned. Huh? Until what? Until he sinned. You know, what happened when Adam sinned? He left rest and entered into hard labor. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Adam did not work. Sean, go to the other side, please. I'm not saying Adam did not work all that time. Because God told him to dress the garden and to tend the garden. But it was enjoyable work. It was not hard labor. Hard labor came in as a result of sin. Amen? Are you still with me? Pain! There was no pain. But when they sinned, then God talked about pain. Yeah? Pain came in as a result of what? Of sin. It was not God's original idea. So sin is destructive. Are you still with me? Let me say one more thing about that. Oh, one more thing to say, yeah. So now you see, Sunday is the first day of the week, according to the Bible. The church was born on Sunday. Huh? Because Jesus rose up on what? On Sunday. No one could be born again before Jesus rose up. Huh? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then all our faith is what? Zero. Am I right? The church was born on Sunday. And if you continue to read John 20, you will see when he spoke to them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." 7 weeks later, someone say seven. Or 49 days later, because 49 plus 1 is what? 50. On the 50th day, the Holy Spirit came down. On Sunday. Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. And that's why they call it the Lord's Day. And 7 weeks later, the Holy Spirit came down on which day again? Sunday. So the church was born on Sunday. So every time we meet on Sunday, we are celebrating the anniversary. Yeah? Of the birth of the church. Praise the Lord. Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It belongs to the church. We use it to remember the resurrection and the Pentecost. Amen. Let me see one more thing to say there. Okay, let's move on. So Saturday is the Sabbath. Saturday is the Jewish Sabbath or the Hebrew Sabbath. And Sunday is the Lord's Day when the church was born. Okay? That's why we meet on Sunday. Do you understand that? It's like keeping your birthday. Do you understand? Yeah. Okay. Let's move on now. This is the real one now. Open your Bible to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. What I'm teaching you today will really, really help you. If you understand it, it will really, really change your life. If you understand it, it will change your life. Exodus 20. So now I'm saying that everything good and perfect was already in the plan before Adam was made. And God made him and put him into it. Huh? And just to ensure that, he blessed him. And said, be fruitful and multiply. By the way, I want to explain, being fruitful and multiplying is not just about having children. It's an important part of it. But that's not the only thing. Being fruitful and multiplying means increase. You know? If you have a talent, use it and produce fruit. You know? Influence lives positively. You know? Prosper! In fact, if you read Genesis 1:26 in message, it says prosper. Prosper. That's the meaning of be fruitful and multiply. It's not just about having children. It includes it, but it means prosper. Hallelujah. That's the blessing. He said, prosper. Increase. Dominate the heart. Influence it for me. For righteousness. And subdue it. Amen. That's God's plan. See, God's plan for my life is that I prosper. In spirit. And in soul. And in body. Now, it's very reassuring. That's why it's difficult for me to beg God. Hello?
If I want something that I know within the power of God, I don't need to beg him. I ask him and I trust him. Because he wants it already for me. I don't need to beg God to heal me. I don't remember if I've ever done that of recent. Why? He wants to. More than I want to. It's in his perfect will. If I'm not healed, it's not God. It's the adversary. Are you with me? It's the adversary, not God. I'm not trying to persuade God to heal me. That is his perfect plan. So if I'm not healed, it's the adversary. You know there's an adversary. And what the Bible says we should do to the adversary? He said to resist. What? The devil. And what will he do? How do you resist the devil? Your shield of faith. Hallelujah. And the sword of what? Of the spirit. But mostly actually the shield of faith. Because that shield is what you use to stop all the fiery arrows of the devil. Hallelujah. And faith always involves confession. Jesus said, he said, if you shall say to this mountain, be removed. Now, I know some people, many people, there's a part of Christians that understand that you need to speak. But it's not just all he said. He said, and believe. Someone say believe. That those things he says shall come to pass. You have to believe in what you are saying. Otherwise, it has no power. Hello? If you are speaking to a mountain in your life, and by the way, what is a mountain? A mountain is a messenger of the devil. A mountain is an obstacle to your progress and prosperity. A mountain is an obstacle to you becoming what God has called you to be. Yeah? If I know something that God has called me to be, and I'm making effort, it's not happening, that's a mountain. Now, the Bible did not tell you just only pray to God and say, God, do it, God, do it. No, no, no. Hallelujah. If you can be sure that it's the will of God, then there's an adversary at work. It's not enough to ask God and say, God, do it. As though he didn't want to do it. You have to believe that it's already his will. And speak to the adversary. You speak to the adversary, you say, be removed. And be cast out. But you must believe that what you are saying will come to what? To pass. Then you will have whatever you say. If you are speaking, you don't believe in what you are saying, then it has no power. Amen? Are you with me this morning? The Holy Spirit has just made me to consider on that point. It's not enough to ask God for things. You have to believe. Hallelujah. If you want good things, ask God. You don't ask the devil for good things. He asked the devil for good things. No. Ask God. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? But Bible also says, Mark 11:24, it says, when you ask, believe that you receive it. Meaning that asking is not enough to get your miracle. When you pray, he said, whatever you desire when you pray, Mark 11:24, believe that you receive it. Then you shall have it. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I will explain that later. Whenever you believe that you have received what you've asked of God, you enter into his rest. Amen? When you believe that you have received, you are no longer going to be worrying. You're going to be giving thanks. You're going to be confessing it. I have it. It's coming. Hallelujah. You're going to cross over. When you believe you receive something, you've crossed over from the land of I want to, I believe, so I expect. Hallelujah. Now, the facts have not changed. But you believe that you have received it. You've crossed over spiritually. Your prayer changes. Hallelujah. You are not repeating the same prayer every day. God, heal me. God, give me children. God, give me a married partner. God, give me a car. You've asked him. He heard you. Except you don't believe that he heard you. But you, when you reach a point, you must know that God has heard you. Then believe. Start believing. If you pray to God, you can ask God to heal you. Healing is a good thing. You can ask God to heal you. You don't beg. If you're an unbeliever, you should beg. You don't have any right. But if you're a believer, you are born again, you don't beg. He's already provided. The work is finished in Christ. You believe that you receive it. Now, when you believe that you receive it, the way you pray will change. Because now you can see. You know, when you believe that you see something, you can see it now. You have a mental picture. Say, Father, thank you. Hallelujah. Because against all odds, my wife is coming. I believe now that I receive it. You see, and that helps me. I'm no longer putting blame of God on God. Why have you not done it? Hallelujah. Because the works have been what? Finished. It is in His will. Father, I thank you. When I have doubts, I say, no, get behind me, sit down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you see sickness in your life, it's a mountain. It's not a good thing. Is sickness a good thing? Anybody like sickness? Anybody like disease? It's a mountain, isn't it? Where is it coming from? The adversary. Now one, you don't pray to God now. You speak to the mountain. Say, how often should you speak to the mountain? Do you know how often you should speak to your mountain? Do you know? Anybody? How often should you speak to your mountain? Jesus said, if you speak to your mountain and you do not doubt but believe that what you are saying will come to pass, you are whatever you say. How often should you speak to your mountain? Anybody? You're speaking to this mountain to leave. Yeah? How often should you speak to it? Once? Twice? Thrice?
Once.
Until the mountain moves.
Every time you come across it.
Every time you come across it. Any other one? Until the mountain moves. The answers are technically correct. But I'll tell you the key. Joshua won it. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall maintain on it day and what? And night. How do you meditate? He said, it shall not depart from where? Your mouth. Day and night. Until the mountain what? When the mountain has moved, there's no need for speaking anymore. You give thanks. Amen? That's how Jesus did. And Jesus was the one that taught us what I'm telling you. Mark 11:22-24. If it now depends on whether you choose to be wise or you choose to be foolish. If you choose to be foolish, you will not do that. And you keep saying, God, why don't you do it now? You refuse to believe. Amen? You refuse to do what? To believe. Let's continue. Sorry I stayed there, but I think the Holy Spirit just put that in my heart to emphasize that for someone's benefit today. I don't know who. Let's move on. Aha. This is the key one. So Exodus 28-11. Was it read? Did someone read it? Yes, who's going to do that? Someone was not read today. Exodus 20:8-11. This is one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20:8-11. Please follow in your Bible. This is one of the Ten Commandments now. Remember. Exodus 20:8-11. Please go for it.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them, rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord this blessed Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Amen. First of all, why did God bless the Sabbath day and hallow it? Why? Why did God bless the Sabbath day and hallow it? We said that already today. Why did God bless the seventh day? We said that already.
Because that was the day He rested.
Yeah. And because, not just that, because His works were finished. You see, for God, the Sabbath was a celebration of accomplishment. The Sabbath was a celebration of the work being finished. Yeah? It's like you were doing a painting. Yeah? And then you work so hard on this painting and finally it's all done. There's nothing to be added, nothing to be removed. It's finished. So what do? Celebrate. Hallelujah. Question. That is the fourth commandment. The question is this: why was the Sabbath law given to man? Because it was a law. And second question is, why are we not keeping the Sabbath? According to Exodus 20, because the Sabbath is a Saturday. And Exodus 20 says, you should do no work. I guess that includes shopping. Now, it can be argued that shopping is not work. But the shopkeepers are working. And you are helping them. You are patronizing them. Isn't it? So in a way, even if you thought you were not working by shopping, but you are patronizing the work of the shopkeepers. Huh? No, let's not go there first. The question is, why was the law given? Let me just explain this. The Old Testament is a shadow of the new. The old is shadow, the new is the real deal. Yeah? The old is never better. Someone said the old is never better. I know you believe that. If you bought a new dress now and you have an old dress, what will you wear to your party? Huh? Old or new?
New.
Hello? The old is never better than the new. The new is always better than the old. When we look at the new and we look at the old, we can say, oh, this is inferior. This is much better. Amen? In every piece, so if you read your Bible, anything you can call old, you must be able to show me the new version that is better. If what you are telling me is not better, it's not new. Let me give an example. Giving. In the Old Testament, you are told to pay your tithe. Bring your tithe, 10% of your income. In the New Testament, it talks about generous giving. My simple argument is this. Is generous giving less than 10% or more? Hello? Is it less than or more? So if you come and argue generous giving, and then we check all your giving in a year, and it's not up to 2% of your income, are you generous? The new is always better than what? The old. They're having their own party. Why was the Sabbath law given to man? So what I'm looking for now is, what is the benefit of keeping the old day free of work out of 7 days? That's what I mean. We're looking at the principles. Because usually when the new takes over the old, the same principles are kept. Listen to that. When the New Testament supersedes the old, the principles remain the same because God does not change. What changes is the process or the practice. There's nothing in the Old Testament. It's all reproduced in the New Testament in a better way. Same principles. So if you can study the principles of the Sabbath, we can begin to see how the new improves on it. So yes, why was the Sabbath law given to man? Why did God tell the Jews to rest 1 day out of 7, do no work? Even their animals were to do no work. Yes?
Because that day was dedicated to God.
Because what?
That day was set apart and dedicated to God.
Okay, set apart and dedicated to God. Yes? Any other one there?
Because it was the same day that God rested.
Because it was the day that God rested. All these answers you're giving me are not the best answers because you're still talking about God. Actually, one of them is right. I'm coming back to it. I'm looking at, God told man to do something. Actually, the way I say it is because sometimes we see it the other way. Every time God tells you to do something, there's a benefit for you. So what's the benefit in you resting 1 day out of 7? Instead of working every single day of your life. Yes? So you want to try? Is there any benefit in resting 1 day out of 7 instead of working these whole 7 days and make more money?
So you can dedicate it to God.
Yeah, dedicate it to God, I agree. Any other one?
Maybe to reflect on your work.
Reflection, yes, I agree. Reflection is part of it, yes. Any other one? You've not even told me the master one, which is rest your body. Yeah?
Do you know that if you rest one day out of seven, you'll be more productive in the 6 days than if you worked every 7 days? Hello, let's just say that again. You take one day out of seven, you rest. You don't do your normal work, you don't do normal activity, you just take a break. You will go back in those 6 days being more productive than if you worked the whole seven. Because you can be working, but not being productive. You are there, but you are doing things slower and less efficiently. Am I right? Okay, yes. Any other reason? So, rest. And part of rest is, actually the answer is rest. But rest includes reflection. Yes? What else does rest allow you to do? One day out of seven? Yes?
Clear the mind.
Yes, just, okay, clear your mind, which is a form of reflection or, I don't know, yes, that's right, I accept it. Any other one? You rest one day out of seven, what benefit does it give it to you, instead of working every 7 days?
It allows you to work on the 6 days better than if you worked all
day. Yes, we know that, but how? So part of it is you can rest your body and gain energy in your body. You can reflect. Okay, let me just, for time's sake. You can meditate. You can worship. Huh? Imagine you go to work 6 days. Then you go the seventh day. How will you go to church? I'm just saying. Yeah? You can worship. You can fellowship. You can do other things that you're neglecting. You can have time for family. It's all part of resting. That's called emotional rest. You can have time for family and friends. That helps you refreshing your mind. Are you with me? So there is a benefit in keeping the Sabbath for man. Because rest helps you to refresh. Rest helps you to do what? To refresh. Physical rest. And spiritual rest also helps you to refresh. But spiritual rest does not mean doing nothing. Spiritual rest means worship and fellowship. It also refreshes you. A lot of people that are having mental health problems today, I didn't say all, I just said quite a number. Yeah? What is their real problem is no worship, no fellowship. I'm telling you. You know, the mental health problems have increased in our generation than in time past. When I say mental health, I'm talking of things like depression. I'm not really talking here about insanity. I'm talking about just depression. You understand? The more isolated you are, the more the depression. Okay? Worship, which is you having time with God. Worship is upward. And fellowship, which is you and like-minded believers, has a good effect on your mental health. And that's why when you are down, it is not for you to hide. That was not the medicine that will cure it. You know, when you hide, when you are down, you are too self-conscious. It's selfishness. When you are down and you hide, you keep to yourself, I mean, it's because you are self-conscious. Because the medicine to being down is worship and fellowship. Hallelujah. And that's spiritual rest. But imagine if you are working 7 days a week, will you have time for worship and fellowship? Will you come to home fellowship? Prayer meeting? Sunday service. If you are studying every day, Stephen, if you are on your computer every day, will you have time to come to church? Your mom is smiling. I'm just putting your legs. Praise the Lord. Okay, so did anybody get my prize for that? What did you say? Did you say rest? Are you sure you said rest? There you go. Give him 20p. Okay. Let me aim to finish in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. So can I just... So... Let me just say some few things about the principle. Remember, I'm not telling you to keep Saturday off. Because it was the Old Testament. But I will first of all explain the principles. It means in all cases, any principle in the Old Testament is valid. You can never nullify it. That's why you cannot nullify tithing. Because the principle of tithing is giving a good percentage of your money to the work of God. You can never nullify it. You can only improve. You can't nullify. The new always improves on the old. The new fulfills the old. It does not nullify it. It fulfills it. That's why Jesus said, I've not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Are you with me? So, the principle of keeping the Sabbath day, which is the seventh day, which is Saturday, not Sunday, is rest. So God gave that law so that we can learn to rest from our works. Because if he didn't give that law, people will be working every day, trying to make more money and destroying their health, both physical and mental and spiritual. Are you with me? Then the other principle is to learn to trust in God. Because if you've been working 7 days a week, and now you have to take one day off, to do it, you need to trust that God will bless the 6 days in a way that you'll be getting as much or better. You understand? So, not overworking yourself. You need faith not to overwork. Because in the natural, you think, if I can work more, I will make more money and I will do more things. But God is telling you, take some time off and I will bless it. So, those are the principles. Resting from our works and trusting in God. So, in fact, basically, if I want to talk about it spiritually in general, resting means trusting. I rest because I trust God. Whenever I don't trust God, I work. Listen to that. I rest because I trust God. When I'm not trusting God, I'm worrying. I'm laboring. I'm fearful. Yeah? I'm complaining. When I trust God, I do what I need to do, but I'm not worrying. I'm not overworking. Yeah? I'm not fearful. That's rest. And God created Adam into rest. Amen? Let me say a bit more about rest so that you understand rest from the Sabbath. Resting means to take a break from hard labor. Imagine if every day of your life is hard labor. Can you say you're enjoying that life? Every day you're working hard, every single day. Can you say it doesn't matter how much money you're making. Can you say you're enjoying that money? No. Then there's another principle. Sister Pamela said it. Which is, it's not just about rest for ourselves. It's about also giving back to God. Basically, God has given you 7 days. But he says what? Give me back one day. I'm not talking about Saturday. Saturday is Old Testament. It's just the principle. So I see a principle in the Sabbath of 1 over 7. Someone say 1 over 7. What is 1 over 7? Do you know? What percentage? 1% in 1 over 7. The closest answer gets, without using the computer, the closest answer gets 50p. 1 over 7, what percentage? Only children. Percentage? 40%. Yes, that's good. Anybody can improve on that? Anybody? You need these decimal points if you want to improve. No calculator. No, that's further away. 14 is the best answer so far. Okay, closed. 50p tuition. 14.1? No, it's further away. 50p tuition. It's 14.28. I checked it before coming to church. Amen. Can I just explain this principle to you? In the principle of the Sabbath, everything you have in your life, at least 14% of it should be going back to God. It's not about keeping a day. Your time, your money, you know, we say 10%. No. Your time, your money, your talents. If I'm using all my talents to work for my employer and make money, there's a problem. If I'm using all my energy to work for my employer to make money, there's a problem. 14% of my energy should go back into serving God. That's the principle. Are you with me? 14% of my money should go back into serving God. Why will you do that? Because you trust God. If you don't trust God, you won't do it. You'll keep it. You'll keep your time to yourself. Play, holiday, pleasure, leisure. You won't give it to God. You'll give it the minimum. Tiny. In fact, if you don't trust God, you want to give to God, you look for the dirtiest, most rumpled note and give. Are you with me? But when you trust God, you give him a good part of your life. You give it back. It's trust. Someone say, I trust God. Therefore, I give back. Amen? That's the principle. So you can see actually that. Let me just round up that question before I move on. If you are overworking all the time. Hello, hello. If you are, I didn't say working. You need to work. But if you are over, sometimes you will overwork. Sometimes you do overtime. Does it make sense? But if you are overworking all the time, it's proof that you are not trusting God with your life. If your attendance at church is very low, when I say very low, I mean 25% and lower, it's proof that you have a spiritual problem. That's my process as a pastor. If someone is not constantly coming to church, I don't see them in church, I only see them less than 25%, they have a spiritual problem. And the problem is that the solution to that spiritual problem is to come to church. Let me say one more. If you are not paying your tithe, then it's proof that you are not trusting God. You are not trusting God. That's why you want to hold it. You didn't believe that God gave it to you. Isn't it? It's your money. Hallelujah. You don't see it as God's money. You know, when I go to work and I earn money, who owns the money? Me or God, whom I serve? Are you with me? If I see that my money is owned by God, I will give back. Does it make sense? Hello, church. Are you with me? Does it make sense? If you agree with me, wave your hands. Let's see. Let's see those who agree with that simple principle. Hallelujah. That word means to trust God. See, you don't trust God and hold back. That's no trust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on now. So, did I give you the prize, Stephen? So, I have like 5 more minutes. And I'll stop there. I'll continue next time. So, let me, 2 more questions. Okay. Okay, this is the last question, probably because of time. And I'll continue. Should Christians keep the Sabbath law? That is, should we all rest on Saturday and do absolutely no work, no shopping, no cooking, nothing? Just stay at home. And if we did that, if we don't do that, why are we not breaking the fourth commandment? Because the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it what? Holy. Ah? Is that a good question?
No.
Yes. Okay. Let's start from children. Yeah?
No.
Okay. Why? Give a reason.
What? Because if there's no food at your house or like nothing to you, you'd be bored. And there wouldn't be food for the family.
But you don't go to school on Saturday, do you? Yeah? You can cook on Friday. Yes?
Technically.
Do you know that in Israel today they still keep the Sabbath? Yeah?
Technically, God did not create the Sabbath day for us to just sit at home and do nothing.
But didn't you read Exodus 20? Exodus 20 says you do no work. And that's the fourth. You know that's the fourth commandment. The fourth. So, who gave the commandment? Yes. Yes. Yes, sorry. Sorry. Yeah.
No, because in the Bible, it says that we do not enter his resting place.
Yeah, okay. So, Hebrews 4 talks about another rest for the people of God. Yeah? He said it's not about one day. So there's another rest for the people of God. We'll go there, yes?
I think it mentioned somewhere in the Bible about hard labor. So you don't have to do hard labor, but it's not saying you shouldn't do anything.
The Bible didn't say it like that, but I got your point, yes?
So technically we could, because in Israel...
In church.
In Israel, like you were saying, they do...
Sabbath law was first of all given to the Jews.
Yes, but they work...
The Sabbath law was not actually given to the Gentiles.
Yes.
but the Ten Commandments were given to the Jews, but all the principles apply to the Gentiles. Let me give an example. I'll come back to that. For example, animal sacrifices was given to the Jews. If you sin and you are a Jew, you have to take an animal to the priest and it will be sacrificed on your behalf and the blood will be shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Huh? So when last did you sacrifice an animal? Anybody? When last? For your sins. For your sins. I know you sacrificed it for your beef. Yeah? Huh? You know why? Because Jesus Christ became the perfect sacrifice. The animal sacrifice did not clean sins, it only covered. But the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. So you see, the New Testament is better. They had to go to the temple each time, once a year, for their sins. But now you have the blood of Jesus that you can use each moment, not even each day, each moment. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to what? Forgive us and what? Cleanse us. So that supersedes because it's better. Amen? Please continue.
Yes, so I was saying because the Jews work from Sunday to Thursday, so they have the Friday off. And
not the whole Friday.
Sorry?
It's Friday evening.
Yes.
But you see, in the Jewish culture, the day starts with the evening. Because if you read Genesis, say the evening and the morning were the first day. The day starts at 6 p.m. and ends at 6 p.m. the next day. So the Sabbath in Israel is 6 p.m. Friday to 5:59 p.m. Saturday. Okay. Are you with me? But more important is that the Sabbath law was given to the Jews. Yes. The Ten Commandments were given to the Jews. But every bit of it applies to the Gentiles in principle. Yes, so in principle.
That's why I wanted to say.
Because the law is a shadow of the new.
Yeah, so that's why I wanted to add, we're no longer under the law.
We're not under the law. Remember that? But we're under what? Grace. But grace does not nullify the law. It fulfills it in a better way. Are you with me there? Grace does not nullify the law. It fulfills it in a better way. So when the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, it's still valid in principle. Keeping the Sabbath is valid in principle. The principle is the rest and the time for God and the trusting in God. Apply to your money, to your time, to your talents. It's valid in principle. Hallelujah. Okay. Sister Pamela, you get 1 point for that. Okay, let me start to round up on this. I just explained this, but I need to stop there because of time. I really want to just explain, you know, why we don't keep Saturday at home, but why we have to still keep it in principle. And I've told you the principle is 1/7. Make out 1/7 of your time to rest and find time for God and for worship, for fellowship and service. Make out 1/7 of your money for worship, fellowship and service. Make out 1/7 of your talents for what? Worship, fellowship, and service. That's the principle. It's not a law. It's the principle. And so, under grace, with the help of God and the Holy Spirit, we follow this principle. Trusting in God. Amen? Okay, so let me just give the answers. Sir Pamela, did I give you the 1 pound? Good. Let me give the answers to that. So, should Christians keep the Sabbath law? Yes, in principle. But no, in practice. Like keeping Saturday. But the principle continues. And the reason is this. The Sabbath was fulfilled in Christ. Remember that on the cross, what did Jesus say? Like what? In the beginning. Hello? In the beginning, God finished His works. Then He rested. So also, Jesus Christ came, died for sin, sacrificed Himself for sin, then said what? So in Christ, you know how we enter the rest of God in Christ? How do we enter the rest of God in Christ? Well, Tola, let me challenge you. If you want to enter, the answer is in Hebrews, you read it today. What can stop you from entering the rest of God? And how can you enter the rest of God in Christ? Hey, David, don't play with that.
It's belief.
Yeah. So basically, how you enter the rest of God in Christ is through faith and obedience. And what we stop you from entering rest is unbelief and disobedience. Amen? When you put your faith in Christ, you enter into his rest. Now, I always tell you, I said, listen to this. Sean, I told you where to be. Listen to this. How did you get born again? You heard the word of God and you believed it. But that's not the end. That was the start of the journey. All through your Christian life, you must keep hearing the word. Let me explain that again. You got born again by receiving the word of God. But all through your Christian life, if you are going to live victoriously, you must keep receiving what? The word. How did you get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yeah? You yielded yourself and received. But all through your Christian life, you want to be full of the Spirit, you must keep yielding. Does it make sense? The same way, the Bible says that the just shall live by what? Why? So that you can be in his rest. If you are not living by faith, you will be stingy. If you are not living by faith, you will be worrying. If you are not living by faith, you will be doubting. You will be fearful. If you are not living by faith, you will not tithe. As you do tithe when you work very hard for it. If you are not living by faith, you will be intimidated by facts. You look at yourself, you look at the situation and say it's impossible. So you will not have rest. Amen? You know, you don't really have control over the things, the challenges that come your way in life. Yeah? Some you have control, some are forced, but some they just show up. It was not your fault. So what am I going to do to that situation now? If you are not living by faith, the fact will intimidate you. You will have no rest. If you are not living by faith, you will not have time for God. You will not have time for God. You will not have time for God. You have time for party and enjoyment and pleasing yourself. You don't have time for God. Hallelujah. So we enter into God's rest through faith and what? Obedience. Because Jesus Christ has finished the works. The basis for rest is because it is finished. Don't forget that. I will do part two next time. But remember, the basis for Sabbath, the basis for rest always is because God finished the work. You ask me, why did Jesus have to come? Because after God finished the work, what did Adam do? And Eve? They disobeyed. Do you know why they disobeyed? Unbelief. God said, don't do it. Devil said, God did not mean what he said. Then they believed the devil. They did not believe God. If they believe God, will they do it? You know, I want to tell you that every time you disobey God, it's proof that you don't believe God. Let's stop there. Let's rise up, take a song.